All right, let's kick off hour two with About Last Night. What'd we miss from Monday evening, Sam?
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
More news with the EA college football game. They have released some numbers basically on how many players have officially opted in to it. Looks about hovering around 90%, I think around like 85, 87%. Over 10,000 have opted into the game. Notably, one of which is not going to be opting into the game. It's Arch Manning. I don't understand this one. I get, you know, you think that your brand is worth more than $600.
Your brand? What the hell is your brand? Being someone famous's grandson?
That's what I...
Being someone famous's nephew? Like, what is his brand?
He doesn't
brand?
Have a brand yet. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, like, his brand's worth more. Like, how? Why? Just because of the last name?
His name.
I get it from a perspective of keeping your negotiating power, whatever. If you think you're somebody, if you think your brand's worth something, that's fine. But to say, like, hey, sorry, we're too focused on ball right now. Okay, well, you can sign a paper.
Yeah, you can take a survey.
Also, I don't think his advisors did him any favors here. Like, if it is his family, if it is Arch, if it is Peyton, Eli, Cooper, whoever it is, they didn't do him any favors. Because it just leads to these conversations where we make fun of Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Like, everyone in the country right now that cares about college football and cares about this game is making fun of Arch Manning. Oh, no. What am I going to do without Texas's backup quarterback? Their third-string quarterback. Oh, no. What am I going to do without him being on the game? Like, no one cares. Oh, no. Arch and his family saw he was going to be ranked 70 and didn't want him on the game. Like, if he just signs in, opts in, no one talks about it. It doesn't become a story. It's not like you can go on the game like Grand Theft Auto and make Arch Manning have sex with prostitutes.
Yeah.
It's not like you can make him go in there and commit crimes. I get it if you're like, hey, I don't want to opt in on a game where I'm going to sully the family name. You can't do anything like that other than like have Arch Manning get sacked.
Hit the transfer portal.
Yeah, like, you can't even do that. You can't even make him hit the transfer portal. Like, the game can, I guess, but like the players can't. If you're on the game, you can't say, hey, you entered the transfer portal, at least I imagine. Maybe you could process players and have an awkward conversation and tell them their spot.
I think you can.
Their spot is gone. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. But, like, yeah, like, I don't understand how you could sully the name or the brand just by being in the game. It becomes a talking point, and we make fun of him whenever he does this.
Needs to be a starting quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
What are you... I'm focused on football, okay?
Yeah.
Win the starting job over Quinn Ewers if you're so focused on football.
Exactly.
You know, I give them a little credit for sticking around at Texas, but, like, I don't know exactly where they could have gone where they would have been starting at big-time football. Like, I don't think any big school would have taken them. Like, Ole Miss wouldn't have even taken him to come be a starter.
Just get your $600 and run. Get a free copy of the game.
Well, I agree. I agree, like, just don't become a headline.
Yeah.
You talk about distractions and wanting to focus on ball. The route to focusing on ball is just to not put out a statement. Like, if you want to just, like, not answer the inquiries and just, oh, I didn't get that. Sorry. Arch Manning's not in the game. I don't know. Never signed anything. That's different than me. Like, oh, I'm focused on ball, which at least is just the jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
His brand. Brand. Nepotism. That's what his brand is.
In the NFL last night, Broncos officially released Russell Wilson, taking on an NFL record, $85 million in dead cap hit. Largest dead cap hit in league history, bigger than the previous two combined. That would be Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, both at $40.5 million.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in the quarterback situation a little bit more, so let's move on.
Okay.
But Russell Wilson gone, record-breaking money just to go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Some more NFL news. Jason Kelce officially retires. Emotional press conference for him. 13 years in the league. Unbelievable. Center, obviously, drafted into Philadelphia. Has really just kind of taken that city's identity on and has quickly become a fan favorite, not really just with only Eagles fans, kind of around the league now that the Kelce family has been put in the spotlight so much. But personally, over the last year or so with all of the Kelce hype, I've found myself liking Jason a lot more than I've liked Travis.
Did you see where It sounds like maybe the Eagles did make an offer to, for him to stay.
Yeah, I think it was definitely just kind of a health thing and wanting to be with his family.
Yeah, like it was like a $9 million offer, which is less than what he was making annually, but they did make an offer. And, I think he's going to try something else. There was a lot of chatter around Super Bowl weekend that he was talking with networks about maybe a TV gig. He won't be at a loss for opportunities or options.
No. He's a celebrity now.
Yeah he is.
You know, he looks like he's already lost weight to me, too, even though he's partying like a beast.
Yeah, I mean, those offensive linemen almost always just immediately shrink whenever they can eat like normal people and don't have to stay big. I don't know, what TV deal he ends up getting. Maybe he just does podcasting and hangs out with his family and continues doing that. But I think he'll make millions of dollars next year. He'll be fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sticking in the NFL here. 49ers made some new changes to their coaching staff. Former Chargers head coach Brandon Staley has been hired as an assistant head coach. I know that they were kind of interviewing him as the, for their vacant defensive coordinator spot after they fired Steve Wilks. But he's kind of just going to land as an assistant head coach. Will probably help out with the defense a little bit. They are promoting Nick Sorensen, who was their defensive pass game coordinator, to defensive coordinator. And then just recently news came out that KJ Wright, the former Seattle Seahawks linebacker, Legion of Boom member, he is going to be headed to San Francisco as well as their assistant linebacker coach.
I guess if you're Brandon Staley, it's nice just to get like kind of that rehabilitation treatment. But if you interview me for a defensive coordinator, you're like, actually, nah, we'll give you a lesser role. You could hang out with us.
I don't want you touching my defense. But
yeah, you can hang learn. Out with us if you want. And maybe they treat him like the bad luck guy, and they ask him, what would you do in this situation, Brandon? And then he says it, and they're like, okay, let's do the opposite. Let's do something different. Maybe if that happens, I don't know. But, yeah, it seems like it's kind of a little bit of a slap in the face if you're him and you're interviewing for – defensive coordinator position. Like, nah, we're good on that.
Yeah. Was interesting to see KJ Wright, though. I like seeing those guys get into coaching now. That was a guy that was very fun to watch.
Sure.
In the MLB, Phillies and Zach Wheeler agreed to a record-breaking extension yesterday, a three-year, $126 million extension. That will be the most lucrative extension in baseball history in terms of AAV, your average annual value. These pitchers are just getting paid absurd money nowadays here in baseball. Pretty much in the neighborhood of the guys that are getting paid at the top of the league. Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, those guys making about $43.3 million a year. So Zach Wheeler going to get right on board with them. Entering kind of the last year of his big contract that he signed with the Phillies 5 years ago for $118 million. So this extension will just basically be that entire contract that he had before this. Big pickup for the Phillies, though. A great pitcher for them in their rotation.
They're talking about making a run at Blake Snell, too, right?
Yeah, I have seen that. Snell's a name that's been, floated for the entire offseason as a guy that still hasn't found a landing spot. So I assume Snell will definitely find somewhere.
Making a run at the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. And NL's going to be loaded. Got to have the pitching for it, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know Braves fans are excited about what Chris Sales looked like in spring training so far.
Yeah, Chris Sales looked real nice in spring training. Yeah. I've been very pleased.
Could be a huge steal.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he can just stay healthy.
Exactly.
He's a stud.
It's like the Charlie Morton spot kind of on steroids.
Uh-huh,
Because, I mean, Morton's kind of been that old veteran that you kind of have made the ace for a while. I mean, not the ace, but like kind of the workhorse of the
– sure.
Of the
so reliable
rotation.
In that back half.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sell can do that, that's a big win.
Sticking with a little.
He's got much better stuff than Morton, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's got nasty stuff when he's on. The question is whether or not he can stay healthy and how many innings he can give them this year.
Yeah. I guess sticking with a little bit of baseball, Ronald Acuna Jr., he exited spring training a couple days ago, kind of just with some knee soreness. They've kept him out, ran a couple tests. They said he's fine, was kind of a meniscus irritation, they said, but he's going to be fine for opening day. So They're shutting him down for the rest of spring training, but he should be good to go by the time that one gets going. Lastly here, Tyler Kolek, Marquette star guard, missing his final two games of the year due to an oblique injury. This will be definitely something to monitor. Obviously, a huge piece of that Marquette team. Kind of just seems a little precautionary, I would assume, to keep him out for the rest of the regular season and hopefully have him back for the Big East tournament.
A little costly. They're hosting UConn this week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they've been looking to that game since UConn ran them off the floor up in Connecticut. So
at Xavier.
Yeah. So, they're hovering around a two seed, so that could be in a little bit of jeopardy if they lose those last two games going into the Big East tournament.
I'd like to know what happens if UConn loses to Marquette this weekend. Is that something that maybe closes a little bit of gap with Tennessee? Probably not, right? Like, there's no way we can catch UConn, is there? I know a couple, at least one bracket person had us ahead of UConn. When you look at the actual like metrics and everything, says we have a better resume, but that's not realistic, is it?
I don't think so. When we were talking yesterday with Palm, he made that comment. We were talking about the separation between UConn, Purdue, Houston, and then the rest of the field. And he was like, those guys could lose two games and still probably not, A, impact their seeding, but B, I'm not sure if they lost one, it's going to make that big of a difference in the gap between them and Tennessee. I was thinking about that, too, because, you know, Purdue's got a game tonight at Illinois, and surprisingly to me, Illinois is a 2.5-point favorite in that game.
Illinois is where?
In Champaign. It's okay. At Illinois.
Gotcha.
So, again, that's the first thing that came to mind for me is if those guys lose a game, I don't think it's going to be that consequential. If they lose two, maybe, but...
Well, no, I think Purdue is 100% locked in. I mean, like, they would stay a one seed if they lost their next three games, right? Yeah. If they lost to these two this week and lost in the conference tournament, like, they'd still be a one seed, of course. And maybe they get bumped from one to two, maybe, but not enough to where they would have to, like, go out of Detroit.
Right.
They're kind of locked in there. I was just wondering, I mean, I don't think Tennessee could catch UConn. I don't think. But, like, if given the choice between L.A. and Boston – just hypothetically, for one seeds, like, we'd probably rather be in Boston, right?
Sure. Yeah, I would agree.
And that's the only place that they could really catch them, obviously, because, like...
Same time zone, all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I just didn't know if UConn, there's any room there, because when you look at their actual resume, it's not anything that, like, really stands out. Well, that's not true. They just don't win on the road. They beat a lot of good teams. They just don't win on the road. They're dominant at neutral sites. 10 quad one wins. But Tennessee has a chance to end up with 9. And yesterday I saw Seth Davis say that, you know, the borderline quad one games don't really matter. So, like, take Florida, for example. Florida right now is a quote-unquote quad two win because they're 33rd in the net. But, like, he's saying you don't – if they get up to, like, 32 or 31, you're not going to be like, well, sorry, that's not a quad one win. The committee, he says, will view that basically as an equal win if they were two spots higher.
These professors round up.
These professors round up. That's a good way to put it, Sam. Yeah. So, like, you know, if you look at that and you kind of consider Florida a quad one win, Tennessee is 7-5 with a chance to win two more, get to 9-5. 9-5, 10-4. I mean, if UConn lost to Marquette, I mean, I don't. Is that still better? I guess, but I don't know. Anyways, any other headlines?
That's about it.
Good job by you. Send us a break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Get ready for it.
Segment is brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Don't put off your dental visits any longer. Dr. Stephen Malone and his staff, they want to take care of you. They take pride in listening to and communicating with you, the patient, to help you make the best decision about your dental health. from routine cleanings to restorative procedures to removal, veneers, implants. They could do it all at Knoxville Smiles. Contact them today at 865-539-1776. Take a virtual tour of their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Bob, can you hear that now?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Sam, you can't hear that? It sounds like an engine puttering.
Nope.
Keep your headphones off for a second. Are you gaslighting me?
Maybe I'm deaf.
Were you just hitting your knee?
No.
Because it's like when you took your headphones off, it stopped. Like you're messing with me. And I feel like the woman in the play, Gaslight. That's what the phrase means, Sam. This is a similar experience as to the now cultural phenomenon of gaslighting.
I promise I'm not gaslighting you. I really have no idea what you're hearing.
There was a gaslight on, and her husband kept telling her he didn't see it. And it made her go crazy. And I hear this sound. Bob's straddling the line. Sometimes he hears it, sometimes he doesn't.
I think Bob's just telling you that he's hearing it so you can maybe stop going crazy about it.
And no.
No, maybe.
You don't hear it? You don't hear it? It sounded like an engine puttering.
Yeah, I do. I hear
like
it.
Like an engine idling?
But, kind of.
It's more like a banging on a pipe. Like, I mean, kind of like in the play Gaslighting. I mean, that's kind of...
What do you want to do? You want to evacuate or, I mean...
Now I just want to be validated, Bob.
Yeah.
Now I just need some damn validation.
I can't give you that. I'm sorry.
You can or you won't?
I can't. I don't hear it.
Well, again, I don't want to feel crazy.
Might be.
You don't hear that?
I don't. I really don't.
I'm just going to put my headphones on and just ignore the outside world like you two. That's what I'm going to do. Now I can't.
I mean, it's not. I guess maybe
it's annoying.
It's annoying, and I may be downplaying it, but it's not like it's a. We're not on like a ship and it's a boiler that's going to blow or something. I have no idea what it is, but I'm not too worried about it.
You don't know what's in that back room, Bob. There's a lot of old radio equipment. We might blow. So don't. At least knock on wood when you say we're not.
Well, that's true. And the one thing I'll also say is. We can't get moved quick enough.
Well, I'm not coming back tomorrow if this sound doesn't stop because it's driving me crazy. And again, now it's the principle of Sam gaslighting me because
I'm
I know he hears
you.
It. But it's fun. It's fun. Look it up. Google it. Read about the play. That's what you're trying to do to me.
I know the term gaslight, John.
Well, I'm talking about the play, and you're not going to do it to me.
Sam will be driving home after the show, and he'll just be like, got him.
It's a good move. It's a good move.
In the quiet.
I'm gonna drop that too, just randomly in the next couple of weeks, probably now. And just you hear that?
Anyway,
do you hear it now still?
Yeah, I do. It's fine though.
I might just need to get my hearing checked.
Yeah, maybe that's the takeaway here. Is maybe you're deaf, but either way, we will. Press forward, as long as I don't go crazy here, although it's really bothering me. Russell Wilson officially released by the Broncos. Just basically, what, 2 years and 3 days shy? I can't believe he says he can't hear this. 3 days and two years and 3 days shy of the March 8th trade that got him to Denver. Sam, you said it during the break that maybe this goes down as the worst trade in NFL history now.
I think it could be, honestly. If these Seattle rookies that they've drafted with these picks continue to pan out and just what you've given up in terms of what you paid him and what you're buying him out, the guys that you traded and the guys that are getting drafted with these picks, I don't know. It's tough.
I don't know what the current worst trades in NFL history are. I feel like the Herschel Walker trade, we always talk about how great it was for the Cowboys. I imagine on the flip side, the team trading for Herschel Walker had to feel really dumb because it didn't work out for them, and it set up a team to go on a dynastic run, and they, you know, talk about it 30 years later. That one's bad. Of my lifetime, the Ricky Williams trade seems really bad, where the Saints and Mike Ditka trade their entire draft to be able to, you know, draft a running back. The Trent Richardson trade seemed pretty bad too. But Russell Wilson, so they gave up what? They gave up three veteran players and five overall draft picks, two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and a fifth-round selection. Is that right?
Yeah, $124 million in salary they paid him, Noah Fant, Drew Locke, Shelby Harris, and then all these picks turned into Charles Cross, who's their first-round tackle, Boye Mafe, a good player on their D-line, Tyreek Smith, Devin Witherspoon, and Derek Hall.
It's more about the perception and the disaster. Like, Russell Wilson gets traded to Denver. They have one terrible year with Nathaniel Hackett. He gets fired after a year. They bring in Sean Payton. And then the marriage with him and Payton, you know, it felt like an arranged marriage where there's no love in the marriage, of course. It's just one that you had to do if you're Sean Payton. He's under contract. Russell Wilson didn't have a choice. And they didn't stick around long enough to have that love grow, like they say happens in arranged marriages. Just never clicked, Bob.
Didn't. I'm wondering what Pete Carroll's thinking right now. I'm sure he's sitting there thinking, yeah, we got this right. I mean, he's not coaching anymore, but I always thought it was kind of shows what I didn't know. I always thought Seattle letting Russ go was – I thought it was a mistake at first, but it ended up – Seattle ends up getting the last laugh on this, and I agree with Sam now looking back at it. Could be the worst trade of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if I could go that far in terms of being the worst of all time, but it's been a disaster. And Seattle, I don't feel as much positivity about them as you two do, I think. Like, because, I mean, Pete Carroll, he probably felt good 2 years ago. Like, in the immediate aftermath, you know, they beat Denver week one on Monday Night Football, and Geno has his resurgence, and they make the playoffs, I believe. And they made the playoffs 2 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they did.
And then they – yeah, that's correct. And then, you know, they feel like they're in a good spot. But, like, you know, Pete Carroll gets fired this year, so he can't take too big of a victory lap because the Geno thing didn't go as well in year two. And now if you're Seattle, you're still kind of looking and, you know, wondering who your quarterback is. So they had an immediate victory. And, yeah, maybe those defensive players and that offensive tackle, like maybe those are building blocks in the future. But it's not like Seattle is knocking on the door of being a championship contender. It's not like they found a – like the worst trade in NFL history, Sam and Bob, it's one that happened around the same time. Like the Deshaun Watson trade is much worse.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like the Deshaun Watson trade is much worse if you're Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't think this Russell one is necessarily, like, the worst trade yet. But I think there's potential for, you know, if these young guys kind of continue to pan out.
Just Cleveland giving Deshaun Watson immediately, you know, $240 million.
That's
and them idea. Being here 2 years later in a worse position than Seattle when it comes to the quarterback position. Like, that has to be a worse trade. Because they – what did they give up for Deshaun Watson? What did they give up for the nasty man? I know they gave up at least a first-round pick. And I know that they gave him a whole bunch of money. But at least Geno Smith is a stopgap. Geno Smith, if you tell me he's quarterback next year, I'm like, okay, draft a rookie or find a young guy next year and give Geno one more year. At least I can live with that. With Deshaun Watson, you're giving him $240 million.
Yeah.
And like, you're going to have to start losing other key players because of him.
Six draft picks along with $240 million.
Six draft picks?
First and a fourth in 22, first and a third in 23, first and a fourth in 24.
So three?
Three first-round picks.
Yeah, that's the worst trade in NFL history. Especially when you look at the Browns and like what their roster is and what they could have done.
And yeah, and you – just this year, that turned into Kenyon Green, who was their first-round pick as a starting guard for 2022, Damian Pierce, a running back in 22, and then it was Will Anderson and Tank Dell in 23, and then who knows what they'll do in this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's I didn't realize that many draft picks went into that deal.
Yeah, like that's ownership malpractice. That's front office malpractice from Haslam and whoever's there calling the shots.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, Russell Wilson was embarrassing. And, like, you know, the lasting image of the Russell Wilson in Denver era is the really cheesy meme to death, Broncos country, let's ride. That's the lasting image. Let's ride.
I'm not so sure, going back to that, too. What I was getting at with Seattle was, it's not so much what they got in return. It's that they cut ties with him at what appears to be just the right time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could say that maybe it was a year or two too late, but they still got a lot of value, right?
Yeah.
Like when you get five picks, they got a lot of value. It's just that they didn't have a real contingency plan. Like, I give Houston credit. They get rid of Deshaun Watson. They come back and they get C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know, it wasn't directly connected, but, like, Seattle kind of stays in that middle class where they're at least an average to good football team. But, of course, like, Houston feels like they're in a much better position than them. Like, I guess whenever you trade Russell Wilson and you do that, maybe bottom out and find a quarterback of the future would have been a better route.
If you're like the Seahawks, would you start to get interested in trying to trade for like Justin Fields? Because Geno's obviously not your long-term answer, even though he's like your temporary stopgap.
That's a fair question. That's a fair question. I mean, you do have some extra draft capital just in the sense of like you've added so much young talent that their draft picks aren't as important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Seattle's going to do. I think Geno, you probably look, if I'm a Seahawks fan, and you probably have talked yourself into Geno being a top 12 guy, and you just got to put good pieces around him and improve the coaching. Like, Pete Carroll fell on the sword there, right? And they fired him because he wasn't good enough. So you probably say, hey, Geno's good enough to get us back to the playoffs. And I don't know if you look at Justin Fields as an upgrade.
Sure.
Now, long-term solution, yeah, like the age, we take age into effect, you know, account, sure. But, like, are you sure Justin Fields is good if you're a Seattle fan? I don't think any fan base in the league can be confident that Justin Fields is actually good. Do you feel that way, Bob? Do you think Justin Fields is good? Are you confident he's good? Let me rephrase, because you might think he's good. Are you confident that he's good?
I'm confident that he's good. I have no confidence that he's, like, elite, like top 8 to 10 quarterbacks. I think he's good enough to have a starting job with a number of teams.
Okay. I guess my elite is reserved for, like, the top 5.
Yeah, he's not in that range for sure.
And then to me, as good as like 6 to 12, and then like serviceable, solid starters, dependent on, you know, what's around them. That's more of the 13 to 20 range. And to me, he falls more in the 13 to 20 range. Where, yeah, I think he's serviceable. I think he can be a starting quarterback.
I think he's better than Geno Smith.
I think that's fair. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is he better than Geno Smith and a first round pick though?
Yeah, good question.
Because, I mean, that's what it takes. I mean, yeah, if you ask Seahawks fans in a vacuum would they rather have Justin Fields or Geno, I'd say they'd rather have Justin Fields. But it's Justin Fields probably and a first-round pick, or at least a second and a third-round pick. Which, you know, Pittsburgh reportedly not interested in Justin Fields, which was surprising. Or is it they said they're not interested in Russell Wilson, excuse me. They've came out and said, hey, we don't want Russell Wilson. So maybe they're going to be in the Justin Fields mix. Atlanta was thought of to be the Justin Fields favorite, although the quarterback carousel is spinning now, saying that Kirk Cousins and his family may be headed to Atlanta. I saw that as the last update and saw that the Falcons had become favorites to land him.
Speaking of free agents too. You know, we were talking yesterday and there was a little bit of chatter that there was interest from Atlanta and Baker Mayfield, and maybe he was listening, but I wonder if that was partly him playing the game of get me Mike Evans and I want to stay in Tampa, and because now I don't see Mayfield going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, maybe to get them to keep Mike Evans, or maybe like just, hey, I'm going to need more money from you, because all of a sudden, these quarterback markets, you start looking around and teams need quarterbacks, and I'm kind of the best of what's remaining, because it's the same type of math. Would you rather have Justin Fields or Baker Mayfield? I think I'd rather have Justin Fields.
I think so, too.
But would you rather have Justin Fields or Baker Mayfield in a first-round pick? You know what I mean? Like, the math starts changing. I don't know if I would rather have Justin Fields and give up a first round pick compared to Baker Mayfield. Like, Kirk Cousins seems to be the clear cut number one option, right? Like, Kirk Cousins is more valuable than Justin Fields at this point.
I think it's a guarantee that Fields, like, receives, like, you get a first rounder back for Fields, though. I kind of feel like it's more of a second and a third or something.
Yeah,
like
no, I don't think it's a guarantee, but I know that's what they were asking at first.
Yeah.
So maybe the market dries up and maybe these teams are saying, hey, no, we're not paying that, and they have to come off their asking price a bit, sure. So that, you know, all of a sudden that math changes, yeah. And like,
yeah.
If that's a second round pick, that's a little bit easier to swallow. And then, you know, maybe I'd rather have Justin Fields than Baker Mayfield in my second round pick. But like Russell Wilson, where is he going to end up? Is he just like the answer in like New England? Does Gerard Mayo call him? Because they need a quarterback. And like, I'd rather have Russell Wilson than Mac Jones. And I'd probably rather have Russell Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. versus like Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I don't know how you two feel about that, but like, would you roll the dice on a veteran quarterback like Russell Wilson or Justin Fields and try to just add a big time receiver with your number three pick?
I would. I'm not sold on these quarterbacks beyond Caleb Williams, honestly. I really am not. I mean, doesn't mean they can't be good, but Jaden Daniels, for whatever reason, does not move the needle for me. I could be totally wrong, but if I were New England, I would consider something like that.
Well, history tells us that only half of the first-round quarterbacks are going to be good.
Yeah.
So if you're taking four in the top five, four in the top ten, whatever, like history tells you two of those guys ain't going to be it. Two of those guys ain't going to work out. Look to your right. Look to your left. One of you is not going to be here in the league as a starting quarterback in a couple years. Don't believe me? Ask Sam Darnold. Ask Josh Rosen. Ask half of Baker Mayfield. Because, I mean, Baker Mayfield's been that way, right? Like, I mean, if you actually – it's funny. If you take that one draft, you know, that is compared to this upcoming one with how many quarterbacks went in the first round. That one had, what, five go with Lamar, Josh Allen, Rosen, Darnold, and Baker. It really does average out to two and a half of those guys were good. Yeah. Darnold, no good. Rosen, sucked. Lamar, awesome. Josh Allen, awesome. And then half of Baker Mayfield. Half the time he's good, half the time he's not. So if you tell me that, like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams and Drake May and, Jaden Daniels, that they're going to be drafting the top 10, two of those are probably going to be good and two of them won't be.
How about Chad Johnson saying that Wilson's going to Pittsburgh?
Don't dead name him. He's Chad Ochocinco. I don't think he ever changed his name back, did he?
I don't know.
I think he still goes Ocho. Yeah.
He's Ochocinco, Bob. Don't dead name him.
I guess I'm just reading what CBSSports.com wrote, so they're dead naming him for sure.
So CBS Sports is back. Maybe he just goes by Chad Johnson now, but I thought when he did his podcast with Shannon Sharp, he's still
goes Ocho.
He's still Ochocinco, but. He says Russell. He says who's going to Pittsburgh?
Russell Wilson.
I know he said that earlier this week, but I swear Pittsburgh put out a statement, or I guess a report came out that they are not interested in looking at Russell Wilson. That they're actually, if you're Pittsburgh, they're saying they're building around Kenny Pickett. That was the last update I saw out of Pittsburgh.
That too.
Good plan.
I don't see him as a fit in Pittsburgh. Just in my mind, I can't picture it at all.
I don't picture any quarterback being a fit in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, maybe that's a testament to the greatness of Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe, hey, he's underrated. Or maybe it's more like that's what happens when you let Ben Roethlisberger hang around too long. Bob, you gave Seattle credit for cutting ties with Russell Wilson before it was too late. You can't say the same about Pittsburgh.
Nope.
They held on to Big Ben too long, and that's why they find themselves in quarterback hell. Like, they are in quarterback hell. And the worst part is when you get to the depths of hell where no quarterback even seems like he can get you out of it. Like, you could tell me that the Steelers were trading for Patrick Mahomes, and I'd be like, ah, man, I just don't know how he's going to do there. I don't know if it's the jerseys. I don't know if it's the ambiance of the stadium, if it's Mike Tomlin or what. But, yes, if you told me Patrick Mahomes was headed to Pittsburgh, I'd be like, huh, we'll see how it goes. I don't know. And that's a true bad sign. And, you know, if you're talking about Justin Fields, I feel the same way about the Chicago quarterback position too. You talk about those certain things you don't trust.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about those positions I don't trust. Like, hey, I don't want a North Carolina quarterback, Ohio State quarterback, blah, blah, blah. I feel the same way in the pros. You look at the quarterback of the Chicago Bears and now, in recent memory, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Chances are those guys are going to stink. I don't want no parts of them. So if you told me Russell Wilson's going to Pittsburgh, he's not going to work there. Justin Fields, probably not going to work there either.
How about this, Titans fans, in that same article on CBSSports.com, they're talking about the prospect of Wilson maybe going to the Titans as a backup. First of all, I don't see him wanting to go backup anybody.
Well, I don't think he's going to want to. I just don't know what other options he's going to have.
True.
Like, I mean, like, at a certain point, your time as a starter is just over.
Yeah.
And, you know, at his age, it might not come back. Because, like, Russell Wilson's small. And that was okay whenever he was really fast and was athletic. That athleticism has waned over the years. He is not that same guy. He's not that same runner. And he's also not the same deep ball thrower or adventure seeker, like when it comes to playing quarterback. He is the bad combination of careful and I mean, I don't even know what the combination there is. He's too careful with the ball. He's careful and not athletic.
How would you sum up his season last year? Because I thought last year he had some moments where he kind of looked like old Russell, but were they enough?
I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot because there were some flashes, but, like, there was no game, was there, that stood out, right? Like, was there a game of Russell Wilson? There might have been a couple plays here and there, but, like, if you just go through and, like, look at his numbers, like, there's no real big game. I guess week two against Washington, he threw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. They lost. The next week against Miami, he threw for 300 yards, but they gave up 70 points. So, like, yes. You know, they're down 50 points that entire game. Like, outside of that, 220 yards, 196, 95. It's all, like, dinking and dunking, just, you know, 6 or 7 yards a pass.
Yeah.
The numbers don't look bad. I mean, like, if you tell, you know, anybody that's kept up with the NFL that, hey, 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions, those are, you know, especially the touchdowns and interceptions, those are good numbers. But it's just there was no plays that, like, were winning you games. It was all so careful. And, like, you had to manage around him.
God, they beat Kansas City 24-9 in October. That's unbelievable.
In that game, Russell Wilson, 12 of 19, 114 yards, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's kind of what Sean Payton was asking him to do.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're him, I don't know if you want to go back up in Tennessee, although maybe you look and say, hey, of all the starting quarterbacks, maybe Will Levis is the least promising. I don't know. But Russell, like, he was just doing an interview a couple weeks ago on a podcast saying he wants to win two of the next four Super Bowls. So he wants to win 2 more Super Bowls before he retires.
Let's ride.
If that's the case, go be a backup for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Jaylen Brown thing where he's like, I want to win however many championships by 26 or something.
Well, yeah, but at least he was sitting in front of Taylor Rooks. Like, he was sitting there talking to one of the most beautiful women in sports. So, like, he was trying to, you know, puff that chest out a little bit and say, nah, baby, this is what we're about to do. I'm about to get 4 or 5 of these championships. Jaylen Brown has a good team around him, as we've seen with the Celtics. Jaylen Brown's still in his prime. Russell Wilson has no team. Russell Wilson has no prime left. And he says he wants to win 2 of the next 4 Super Bowls. Well, he better be fine with being a backup and hang out in Kansas City. The quarterback carousel is the biggest story of the offseason, right?
Oh, yeah.
Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson.
Zach Wilson.
No, 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 no. Gonna throw up the roadblock there. I'll allow Baker Mayfield to get in under the sliding door.
Yeah.
The door is closing. The garage door is closing. Baker can slide through. I care a little bit about where Baker ends up. Zach Wilson, no, no, no.
Yeah, I know.
You better learn UFL, buddy. You better learn how to speak UFL. Go hang out with The Rock.
Do you hold I hold the Jets responsible. That kid's probably ruined at this point. I mean, why did you take him with the number 2 pick?
I don't know if I hold the Jets responsible as much as, like, I just blame COVID.
Yeah.
The COVID workouts, the COVID season, like, it just – it feels like that was maybe more of a detriment because it did make him go number two. And then, yeah, what was surrounding him wasn't great. But, like, I don't want to paint him as a victim. He's had plenty of opportunities. He just ain't got it.
Yeah.
If he'd went somewhere better and they could have coached him up, maybe. But, that, you know, he just plays into what we're talking about. When you look at first-round quarterbacks, for every Andrew Luck, there's a Zach Wilson.
Yep. Mitchell Trubisky came to mind, too. He's, what, third string at Pittsburgh now, or is he even on the team?
I don't even know if he's on the team anymore. But, like,
I think they released him, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. But, like, and those aren't, like, late first-round picks. Those are top five picks. Yeah. Like, Mitchell Trubisky, was he number one overall, number two overall?
He was two or three. Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson, number two.
God. So, like, Lance, number three in that draft.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, if you're sitting there and, you know, if you're the Washington Commanders or the New England Patriots and you're looking at the quarterbacks, you're thinking, hey, we got our quarterback of the future. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. You might end up with another bad player and be back picking at the top of the draft in a couple years.
49ers really were just – so blessed to have had Purdy there, because you forget about Trey Lance entirely. That was, you know, for as highly regarded as they are as an organization, that was a pretty major miss as well.
You know, sometimes it doesn't work out. You could say the same thing about the Chiefs drafting Edwards-Helaire and now, you know, not having any skill position players. But, like, they have found a way to overcome it and piece it together. And the 49ers did get lucky that Brock Purdy ended up being so good. But when you draft well and find out, you know, find other good players to fill other positions, you get a couple of redos. All right, Sam, send us a break. Good NFL discussion. The quarterback carousel starting to spin. Poor Russell Wilson. I hope he's crying in the arms of Sierra as she sings to him. And I know that you won't break my heart. And I... this break.
Everybody. All of
times have come. As we lead up to the draft, it's now time for rumors. It's time for players to start rising. Other players have to fall when that happens. The latest report, the new team to watch in the draft, Sam, you said it's the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, yeah. Raiders are looking to trade up, apparently.
Trying to get as high as five? And they're coming from what, 13th?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, 12 or 13, I think. Yeah.
13.
They're trying to get up, so at least, you know, eight spots, five, six, or seven, so at least six spots. Titans, of course, have number seven. And the Raiders reportedly want a quarterback. So, like, Antonio Pierce gets a little job security. So now he's like, hey, let's find us a quarterback to get excited about. I don't feel like trading up to get a quarterback at five, which would almost assuredly at this point feel like it would be the fourth quarterback taken. I don't know if that's a recipe for success or not.
Yeah.
But, Bob, you said you were reading CBS's mock draft, and they had J.J. McCarthy going all the way at number three now?
They've got him going to New England at number three. They want to try to continue that Michigan quarterback magic that they had, I guess. I don't know. I'm amazed at how much McCarthy has risen in the last week or two.
Like in 2017, when the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, they got him at number 10. But they also got the second quarterback in the draft. You know, Mitchell Trubisky went number two to Chicago. We talked about that. He was the only quarterback that went in the top 10 that wasn't Patrick Mahomes.
Who's the third quarterback taken in that draft?
Deshaun Watson.
Okay, yeah.
He went two spots later to Houston.
Deshaun is in that draft.
Yeah.
Who's the next quarterback taken?
It's really funny. It's really funny that, like, Mitchell Trubisky is taken ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, which I know Deshaun Watson's question. The nasty man now and he sucks, but at one point he was really good.
He was very good.
It's a good trivia question.
The next quarterback taken, there was not one in the first round. Scrolling.
Bad year quarterbacks.
DeShone Kizer.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
At number 52.
Goodness.
To the Browns, right?
To the Browns. So, yeah, like, I don't know if trading up if you're Vegas to get the fourth quarterback is a recipe for success. I don't know what the numbers would actually bear out. Common sense tells me that many times once you get past the first quarterback, it just kind of goes lower and lower in terms of quality. I can't imagine the fourth quarterback taken most years is going to be good or worth trading up for. Because, I mean, I imagine to get from 13 into the top 7 is going to take your first-round pick from next year, right? Or at least, like, your second and third-round pick of this year.
Yeah, if this is, like, just a Titans trade we're talking here, I think the Titans would probably want those, like, second, third, or fourth-round draft picks because that's where we're thin right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we know that the quarterback's what matters. So if you're Antonio Pierce and you think you can get who you want, if it does shake out the way you have it, Bob, so what does CBS Sports have it? Williams number one.
Williams number one. Daniels number two to Washington.
Okay.
McCarthy number three to New England. Marvin Harrison Jr. four to Arizona, which makes sense to me. Uh-huh. The fifth pick, which would be the Chargers, would be traded to the Vikings.
But in that scenario, Jaden Daniels is gone. So, like, who's the quarterback?
Drake May.
Yeah. If I'm Vegas, I don't know if I'm trading up for Drake May.
I don't think so. That's how I feel, too.
Drake May, when I'm looking at these quarterbacks in the draft, Drake May, especially the top three, like, he has the lowest ceiling, right, of all the quarterbacks.
I would say McCarthy has a lower ceiling.
When I say top three, I was saying Williams, May, okay. and Daniels. Like, because Daniels has risen, and for a while, May was thought to be number one, number two, but, like, his ceiling seems lower. Maybe that's not fair.
I think Drake May has a pretty high ceiling.
Okay. As high as Daniels and Williams? Yeah, type of athlete?
Yeah.
I mean, is he like Jaden Daniels type of athlete?
I think he is, yeah. I think that's one of the more underrated parts of his game.
When I see Daniels, I just see, like, Mike Vick potential.
Yeah. To me, I think Jaden Daniels' athleticism hurts him in the NFL.
Like, it hurts him in the NFL?
I mean, the guy just runs into, like, 9 defenders at a time. Well, he's going to get murdered.
I don't know if that's his athleticism hurting him as much as it is, like,
his decision-making.
His decision-making, sure. Yes. Sure. Like, if I draft him, I'm saying, hey, bro, a couple of these plays, I'm going to get the highlight film of him trying to jump over SEC defenders. Like, we're not going to do this in the NFL. You're going to have to take care of yourself. Like,
I think I like Drake May's longevity more than Jaden Daniels.
Okay, and I'm not going to agree or disagree there because, yeah, Jaden Daniels isn't going to be long for the world if he doesn't know how to take a hit. But, like, Lamar Jackson, similar athleticism compared to Jaden Daniels. I mean, maybe a little bit more athletic or whatever. But, like, you don't have too many instances of Lamar Jackson getting absolutely, like, hit hard in the NFL. And he runs a lot. Now you could maybe go back and put on the film at Louisville and maybe Lamar Jackson had already displayed that he had the part of his brain that kept him from getting hit hard. And maybe Jaden Daniels just doesn't have that side. But yeah, if I'm drafting Jaden Daniels, we got to teach him the word slide and how to do it.
He's arguably had better receivers that he's thrown to in college than he'll have at Washington. I mean, Jahan Dotson and I'm trying to think of the other dude, Terry.
McLaurin.
They're good. They're not. I wouldn't consider them elite receivers.
Well, and Samuel's been there for a while, too, right?
Yeah. I think he's a free agent. I think Samuel's a free agent.
I'm saying he had been there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he won't be there for Drake May.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just thinking Washington receivers. I was going to say they've had a pretty good trio of guys, but, yeah, now the LSU guys. Yeah, Neighbors and who'd you say he was?
Brian Thomas,
yeah. Like,
the one thing I like deep into the first round, because we were talking about this in – with Seattle is they're projecting Seattle to take a run on Michael Penix late first round.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be cool. And yeah. Like if you're Seattle, maybe that's the best you can do because he's going to be a little bit older, which makes you think he's going to be a little bit more ready to play right away. So like maybe he's just ready to go day one And then also, of course, Washington, Seattle.
Yeah.
Fan favorite, Quick.
Right, right. The hometown kid. I mean, I know he's obviously not from there, but, yeah, like, the guy that played at your school, that's pretty cool.
I like it.
What part of the draft does Seattle pick in, or what pick? Of like 17, 18, somewhere in there?
This is a late first-round pick that they apparently have coming from Buffalo. It's the 28th pick.
So trading back in, kind of like Baltimore did with Lamar.
Yeah.
I would like that. I'd like to see that. It has to suck to be Seattle and be like, we don't really like this Penix guy. And then, like, have everyone be like, no, you need him. This is what makes sense. And the fans talk themselves into it. It's like, well, we don't really like him, though.
Yeah, they've got a mock trade with Buffalo trading up with Seattle to get Brian Thomas.
Gotcha.
So,
all right, hour two in the books. We'll talk some hour three accolades for some baseball players. Got a baseball game today, a pretty big one, at least in terms of tests of talent compared to who you've played recently. Stick with us. It's the Morning Show here on Fan Run Radio.